This is Jerry Webb with Best Sermon Ever. We stand before people and we teach, we preach, we communicate, we offer all kinds of things, and we want to do that really, really well. One of the things that helped me with that was a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to attend a conference. These days, it's called the SCORE Conference. One of the people involved with that, one of their teachers, is Herb. So I've invited Herb here today to just give us a little synopsis of that and how he uses that, what SCORE is, and maybe how we can start learning about it or even attend a conference, but pick up a tip or two today on how we can improve our communication. To get us started, though, Herb, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Herb Schaefer. I grew up in Springfield, Ohio.
Yay, go Bucks!
And I've been a pastor in the Pittsburgh area, Western Pennsylvania area, for the last 35 years. 26 years ago, planted a church in the south suburbs of Pittsburgh. I have four kids, and most importantly, I've got three grandkids.
I wasn't going to let you forget to mention them.
10 months and 6 months and 3 months. So we went from zero to three last year, and it's a joy of my life. I've been with the SCORE Conference for 28 years now. Ken Davis is the president, CEO, Christian comedian that a lot of people might know. And I just love investing in people.
How'd you get involved with Ken and SCORE?
1987, I went as a student, and it changed my life. Yeah. It changed my life. And so the next year, he asked me to come back as just to run a camera for one of the small groups that we use. And then the following year, 1989, he asked me to come on staff, and I've been on staff ever since.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So tell us what SCORE is. I know what it is. We're talking about it, but I'm sure some of our listeners have no idea what SCORE is. So
well,
tell us what SCORE
I'm
is.
I'm sure they don't even have, they can't even spell it.
That's probably true.
That's right. SCORE is a method of preparing and delivering speeches. It's an acronym, and it's got two R's. That's why nobody knows how to spell it. S stands for subject, C for central theme, O is objective, R is rationale. The other R, and that's where the spelling has changed, is for resources, and then E is evaluation.
Okay.
So it's an acronym. We teach, and so that's the acronym, but overall the purpose is to determine your objective, what you want to accomplish when you're speaking. Most people know what they want to talk about, but they don't give much thought to what they want to accomplish, what they want the people listening to them either know or do differently because of that speech.
You know, when I went through SCORE, two things came to my mind. One is I remembered an advanced composition class I took in high school where I had to write a paper every day for a whole semester. And really, a lot of the principles were the same of what I learned as a high school student. But most people don't get that kind of stuff unless they take some English classes beyond just general stuff along the way. And that was a good memory, not a bad memory. That was a good memory. The other part of it was, I think Ken, and if I remember right, Ken even mentioned this, that he drew a lot of his ideas from an old preaching textbook called Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson. And I had read that very early on in my ministry. And the idea of really developing that objective was powerful. It is powerful. It's the thing I think is missing from a lot of the communication I hear or read from people.
Right.
So delve into that a little bit more.
SCORE is not anything new. It originated some 30 years ago when people would hear Ken speak and they kept asking him, what is it that makes you an effective communicator? And all along he thought it was humor. Mm. But he started digging into the principles of good communication and discovered this method. And it was this process of developing a way that is simple enough for anybody to use. And so it's not new. It's based on principles that any good communicator uses. We get questions at the workshop sometimes. Did Chuck Swindoll attend? Did David Jeremiah attend? Did Billy Graham attend? And they haven't, but they use the same principles. So if you hear a good communicator, they've identified in some way those principles. And so Haddon Robinson identified many of those principles. Mm-hmm. What Ken did was take it so that it's an easier way to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an application of the principles that Haddon Robinson and many other people have used over the years.
Yeah. So you define your subject.
Correct.
That's sounds simple, but give us some examples of a subject. Right. If you're in terms of preaching.
Okay. So your subject could be love.
Okay.
Which is a broad topic. You can talk about loving God, God loving you, loving your neighbor, loving your enemies, loving your family, how to love, why you should love. There's a lot of different, and a lot of people will identify their subject, but they don't know what they want to do with it. And as a result, they just talk about things about love, and everybody appreciates the content, but they don't have handles on which to use that when they leave.
Yeah.
So, and the subject, when it comes to preaching, it's not just taking a random subject either. It's got to be based in Scripture. And if you're looking at a passage of Scripture, you're looking for what does the Bible say? What is the subject that comes from that passage of Scripture?
Okay. And so once you've isolated that, you're going down to central theme.
Correct.
Talk about that transition. How you get from subject to central theme. What are you doing?
Yeah. So the question there is, what aspect of my subject do I want to talk about?
Okay.
So if it's love, you choose one of those aspects. Loving your pet, loving your wife, loving your family. What love is, what's the definition of love, the mandate to love, God's love. So you choose one of those aspects, and it begins like an hourglass begins to narrow it down, and you're headed toward that narrowing part.
Helps you get some focus.
Correct.
I think a lot of people do that kind of intuitively even, mm-hmm. not always, but most
right.
of the time. I think where the SCORE method really starts helping you is into developing your objective statement. Ken talks about and teaches, and the SCORE method teaches, two different kinds of objective statements. One is the persuasive statement. The other is enabling, unless they've changed the language since I went, but I think
right.
it's still that.
Right.
So tell us what each of those is and how we figure out which one we want to use.
Okay. Well, and when you were talking about the central theme, I think oftentimes people, as they are delivering the speech, kind of develop it because intuitively they know what they want to talk about.
Right.
What the SCORE method preparation does is it helps you to define that as you're preparing instead of when you're talking
as
in front of a group of people. Yeah,
yeah, it helps to be knowing a little bit about what you're going to do before you stand up.
Right, right. So then the objective asks the question, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want? What aspect of your subject do you want to talk about? Narrows it some, and then your objective narrows it to very specifically what you want to accomplish. Do you want to convince someone to do something? That's persuasive. Or do you want to show someone how to do something? And that's the enabling.
Enabling.
Yeah.
So an example of a persuasive statement would be, every Christian should tithe because, and then you develop a keyword.
Right.
And
so because of these reasons.
Yeah.
And often with that persuasive, reasons will be your keyword because when you're trying to persuade someone, you're giving them reasons.
Yeah. And talk to us about the enabling statement. What's the difference?
Okay. So the enabling is how you're showing someone how to do something.
Yeah.
So if you go, every person can tithe, then you can. And then the key word is wide open, and you want to be as creative as possible. So everyone can tithe by taking these steps, by using these actions, by following these instructions in Scripture.
So those two, just the change of those two words really changes your focus.
Correct.
It's every Christian can or every Christian should.
Correct.
And that helps you figure out your persuasive statement. But then, you know, to me, the mortar that holds it together is in developing the outline then out of that.
Correct.
And using that. That's what gives you a focus, a central theme. That's what helps you know where you're going. And it just makes a good outline and a good process for how you want to approach giving your communication, your
right.
talk or your sermon, or your Sunday school lesson or whatever it is.
Right, right. So you keep coming back to that key word as the hook on which you put your content. So
okay.
it makes sense. It's leading to an objective
yeah. Yeah.
at the end of your speech. So you either have, okay, here are the reasons why I should tithe, or here are the actions that I can take to tithe.
Yeah. Let's stay on this a second. You know, I gave an example of when you're getting started, how you use this. Every Christian can, every Christian should. And you put your keyword at the end, because or by. As you get more and more practiced using this principle, you kind of nuance that statement a little bit. It's not so, I don't even know the right word I'm looking for, but it's not so scripted. It doesn't sound
so
scripted.
It's not so ugly.
Okay, there you go. So can you help us think through that a little bit? I mean,
sure.
Maybe go back to last Sunday's message or something that's on, you know, tell us how we get out of that scripted part of it.
Into okay. Well, let's stick with the tithing.
Okay.
The two options with the tithing message. So we call it the ugly sentence because it's created in such a way that it forces you to really define what you want
okay.
to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to that ugly statement in those times when I'm struggling to really identify what I want to accomplish. But then you don't want to say that ugly sentence every time you give a message, because it's pretty soon your people will be back there mouthing the words with you and mocking you at the same time. So you want to get creative, and it would look something like this. Every one of us want to be obedient to God. And one of the struggles we have is with money. We get bombarded with options for using our money, advertising that want us to spend our money. But to be obedient followers of Christ and to really show our love for Christ, we need to figure out how to use our money. One of those aspects is tithing. So you may know, well, maybe last week you even talked about the reasons why we should tithe. But today let's talk about some very practical actions that we can take that will make us obedient to God by tithing.
Beautiful.
And so your keywords, actions, you just keep action number one is,
yeah.
and you talk about that.
Yeah. All right. I think our listeners have the idea and can begin working on that. Let's talk about the R's. Move us through the R's.
Okay. The first R is rationale, and it would typically be called points. So in a 3-point message, 4-point message, and so it's rationale, meaning these are the things that lead you to your objective. So action number one, action number two, action number three are rationale by which at the end of your message should lead a person to want to take those actions.
Basically, it's your outline.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Okay. And then resources.
The resources are bringing light and color. You can have the greatest content in the world, but it's going to look like a flat, unpainted wall if you don't make it come alive. Jesus did it through parables all the time. Object lessons, stories. And in this day, I use a lot of videos, even in my Sunday morning messages, because stories, visual and audio, just make it come alive. Jokes. And we are living in the era when it is so available to us. You got all kinds of resources online, video, audio resources, written resources. And so there's no excuse for being boring anymore. And that's what resources.
No excuse for being boring. I love it, and I think all of us need to keep that one in mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
There just isn't. You know, resources are everywhere. I found with resources, it's identifying, but it's also collecting them
mm-hmm.
and having them available, having
right.
them at your fingertips, so that you aren't every week just starting from scratch.
Right.
And I'll talk about that another time in another podcast.
And resources just make it come alive. That's why we say color and light. And they ought to touch both sides of the emotion. They ought to make us feel something emotionally on the sad or moving part. But it also ought to make us see the humor or amusement in life. So bringing people across that pendulum will allow, it'll drive people to the heart and soul as well as to the head.
Okay, good. And E, I think this is the one we're all afraid of.
Well, evaluation ought to be taken place all the way through your preparation as well. Asking yourself, is this the right keyword? Is this the right rationale? Is this really the objective that I want to accomplish? And then afterwards is to evaluate. Did it accomplish the purpose? Not did people like me or was I funny or was I interesting, but did it accomplish my purpose? Because we can be interesting and funny and not accomplish anything. So that's the key word. At the core, you can sum up SCORE by this question. What do you want to accomplish?
Okay. What do you want to accomplish?
Yeah.
So the evaluation in terms of the SCORE method is, it's a personal thing. You're looking at what you've delivered, what you've put together, and evaluating it all through the process to make sure you're on target with what you want to accomplish. It's not, I mean, there's other parts of evaluation. You can include other people to help you do that. But it's really, you need to do it.
Yeah, you need to start there. And then you need to ask other people because we can fool
ourselves. We deceive
ourselves.
Yeah. We live in denial.
Yes, we do.
We like to bathe there and hang out there and wash there. And, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Herb, let's shift a little bit.
Okay.
Before we do that, though, tell us where we can learn more about SCORE. What resources are available to us?
If you want to go to the SCORE conference itself, it's online, scoreconference.tv, I believe is the web address. If you if you type in SCORE conference, it'll
come R's.
With two R's, yeah, that's right. Always remember that.
Yeah.
Or you can get there through kendavis.com, his website as well.
Okay.
There's also a book written. I think they recently changed the title. But again, if you look up Ken Davis books, you'll see the information on public speaking.
And when you order that book, go ahead and order one of his comedy videos with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's amazing is he uses the SCORE method, even though it's a comedy show, you'll see the message in it.
Yeah. My encouragement to our listeners is not just in their own communication to start using this method, but I would also encourage you as you're listening to other people communicate in whatever setting, try to figure out how they've put their talk together and look for elements of SCORE in it, even though they may not have any idea about this grid that we are talking about, and see how focused they are on a subject, on a central theme. How you're not going to be able to do their evaluation for them necessarily because you may not be able to figure out all these things.
Right.
But look for that. Look for how they're using resources and learn from that.
And and body language and humor.
Yeah,
you know, that's
of that.
One of the keys is in this day. We've got to use all the tools that we have, and a big part of that is body language, and that's one of the things that you can evaluate. And as you're listening to public speakers, political speakers, religious speakers, just see what they do. Turn the sound off as you're watching them, and watch their body language, and that'll teach you a lot.
That would be interesting in the political arena right now. But body language is huge. Recent weeks, more often than not, I'm sitting as I preach. And it's not because I want to model Andy Stanley. It's because I've got a knee that's just killing me. But what I've heard from a number of my parishioners is that it's a whole different presentation. It seems I'm paraphrasing their words, but they talk about it seems less authoritative in your face. It's more conversational. Little things in changing body language make a huge difference. I'm not suggesting all of us as preachers sit down, but I would also say if you've never tried it, you might want to try it.
And use it on purpose.
Yes, on purpose. Yeah. So, okay, let's turn the corner a little bit. One of the things I want to do at the end of each of our podcasts is just ask a series of questions to our listeners. And I got to come up with a name for this. I haven't got a name for this section yet, but I'll come up
with it. Is there a buzzer if I get
it
wrong?
No, there's no right or wrong answers. It's just a series of questions. So what's your favorite Bible verse?
John 14:27.
Tell us what it is.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
When did that verse become your favorite?
When I was a sophomore in high school and I was going through a difficult time, and the Holy Spirit, I was reading it, and the Holy Spirit just palpably came and gave peace to my heart.
I've got a similar verse for the same kind of reason. That's great. What are you reading?
A lot. One of the books is a business book called Predictable Success that talks about the life cycle of an organization, but with such practical understanding of that life cycle and how that the organization can be led to stay in a position he calls, Les McGowan is the author, Predictable Success. And it's just very practical. And then I'm reading When the Heart Waits. It's a book by Sue Monk-Kidd that just talks about getting below the surface, peeling away the stuff that gets in our way of our relationship with God, and how God will take us through intentional times when we don't understand what's going on and we just have to wait on him. Okay. And some of the work that he does in us.
All right.
So that's kind of both ends of the okay. spectrum right now.
Do you read a lot of business books? Okay, go ahead.
There's another book that I'm using for my devotion, for our church devotions, actually. It's called Unlocking the Bible. Never heard of it before until I was looking for something for our church, and it takes you from the beginning of the Bible, 365 days, through the ways the message of the Bible comes out through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Talk more about our church devotional. You told me about this several months ago, and I thought it was a really great concept. So tell us more about that.
About 4 or 5 years ago, I think the Holy Spirit just gave me the idea of let's, as a congregation, read the same devotional book and verses together. And so I think this is our fourth or fifth year, and at the beginning of the year we offer those. Usually the church will pay a portion of the book to get it in everybody's hand. And so each year I try to find something that is a little bit different aspect of knowing God. Because the real key to getting to know God is consistently, you don't have to do it for a long time, but consistently allowing God access to you. And so by doing this all together, then it creates this common journey that people in the congregation are on. It's been really powerful for us.
Cool. So I asked for one favorite book. I got three. Thank you, Herb. I know you're like me. I'm like you.
Right.
We're like each other. We're both reading about 10 books at a time.
Right.
The challenge is to actually finish one of them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I get bored halfway through. Right?
Okay. What's your biggest challenge?
Right now it's probably I've got a lot of balls in the air. And okay. trying to block out adequate time to deal with them and not get distracted by, one from another. So pastoring, and last year we came through a building fund campaign. We're looking at doing some more facility. We're always looking at ways to reach out. So maintaining the mission and the culture of the church. And then I'm also the director for the Institute for Servant Leadership that invests in pastors and lay leaders. So organizing that, the SCORE conference, and then I want to spend as much time with those grandbabies as I can. So I think I've got a lot more time than when my kids were home, but there's just so much I want God to use me for, and I want to be as effective and efficient. So with my prayer partners, that's one of the requests I ask continually. Ask God to make me effective and efficient at the same time.
Cool. Thank you. One last one. How do you stay spiritually vibrant?
God has been showing up in powerful ways. And so my time with him has become one of the most precious times. I have to pull myself away. So I deliberately try to spend an hour praying, reading, listening, and leaning into him. And then the books that I read, worship time, the depth of what God has shown me in the last few years has just been overwhelmingly incredible. The presence of God in my life, and that's what I lean into. It's gone from this thing that I do to this lifestyle that I am. And so that his presence, and so that time every day. And then I've tried to get more physically healthy. And in doing that, I'm spending more time on the treadmill. And a lot of times God just says, spend that time with me. Just listen to me. And I can't, you know, one of the pictures that I have is crawling up into God's lap and let him put his arms around you and just sit there. And that's been powerful.
Okay. Before we wrap up, I know you wrote a book. Plug it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know about that. And then tell us how people can get in touch with you if they want to follow up on some of this.
From Where God Sits is the name of the book. And it's a bit of a devotional book in that the chapters are probably 3 to 5 pages long. It's a good book. You can read one chapter a day that talks about God's perspective, from where God sits, crawling on his lap and trying to see your life, see the circumstances, see your relationships from where he sits instead of from where we sit looking up. And I've gotten such wonderful responses from it that it's a book to read to allow God to touch your heart.
Okay.
And so it's available on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle, and we ran out of copies. We're printing more. It'll be available on Amazon as well.
Okay.
And as a hard copy.
Okay. And how do people get a hold of you?
You can email me at Herb Schaffer, HERBSHAFFER @hotmail.com, or my office is 412-283-0888. You can call me there.
All right. Herb, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, and yeah. I've also I've been blogging for a while, but now I've got my own website, herbschaffer.com. You can find me there.
Well, thank you, Herb. Appreciate you taking the time for this interview. The interview was actually done a couple of years ago. I had interviewed Herb for another podcast that never got off the ground and still had this. It's perfect for what we're trying to accomplish at Best Sermon Ever. So thank you, Herb. A couple of things as we close out today. I'm thankful for your listening. Some of you have listened to several episodes now. If you're enjoying the podcast, would you consider subscribing at Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play? Spotify will be available soon. If you go ahead and subscribe and you leave a review, that'll help us get the word out about the podcast and appreciate it. Upcoming episodes include Dr. Jeff Freymeyer. He's actually going to be doing a couple of episodes in the near future. Dr. Roland Daniels will be joining us to talk about preaching in brokenness. It's a good conversation that we have. If you have something unique that you think would be beneficial to those who are listening to this podcast, something that would give them an insight, an idea of how they could improve their preaching, I'm actually scheduling interviews right now of people who want to be a part and know that they can bring value to all of us. If you're interested in doing an interview, send me an email, hello@bestsermonever.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about whether or not this would be a good idea for you to help us share and learn and become better preachers. So for now, enjoy your week. Get to work at developing your best sermon ever. It's still in you, and you can get better, and we're going to see what we can do to help you do that. Have a great week. Bye.